defeated, but this is the last defeating. Amen? And in this, it talks about how in verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come." Sorry, I just lost my spot. Authority of Christ have come, for the accusers of our brothers have been has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It doesn't say by the worship that we sing. It does not say by the sermon that the pastor brings on Sunday and then you think about all week long. It says by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's where this, the rubber meets the road, so to speak. When you talk about that Romans road, we're talking about a testimony. When people hear a testimony is something you see in a court. That it's the honest referencing of what you have witnessed, right? And we're talking about what we have witnessed Christ has done in our lives, and nobody can discount that because it's your testimony. So I gave you a challenge last week to come and bring a testimony of what Jesus has done in your life, and I just want to give it over to you guys. I talk too much anyway. So whoever can make it up to the microphone, okay, go for it.
Now it's going to be really short for the next person. Can you guys hear me? Hello? I'm right here. Okay, I'll just use my teacher voice. So, there's been just a huge change in my life in the last week, and I'm going to try not to cry through this. I did put waterproof mascara on. But this summer, I really felt discouraged. Raise it up again. Okay. So I really felt discouraged, and I was kind of in a place that I was still praising Jesus and still trying to listen to where he wanted me, but I didn't really feel like I was getting answers. And I'm pretty sure most of us have been there before. And the last 3 weeks have been pretty hard. I had everything from my dog, who some of you have met, who's in training for a therapy dog. We work a lot with Special Olympics. Get very, very ill for 2 weeks. Getting sick all over the floor, all over my bed. At that point, of course, you have to start washing things, and that's when my washing machine broke. and I was using a big tub to do my washing and then trying to dry it. And praise the Lord for my grandma. She just stepped in and said, "Bring me your laundry." And so literally the last week or two, I've dropped my laundry off, and I've picked it up, and it has been folded. And she keeps going, "Bring more laundry." But then, you know, you have that going on. You have the coffee pot that breaks. You have, you know, the vet bill that's now $450. And they tell you, "Oh, we can't figure out what's wrong with your dog. So here's some meds." So I was feeling really, really discouraged. But this week, God has answered so many prayers for me. I decided I wanted to start looking for a job that was classified full-time and I could possibly get some benefits, because I don't get that as subbing, because it's, even though I work 5 days a week, it's classified part-time. I get no benefits, I get no retirement, I get no sick leave, anything. So on Tuesday, I was just kind of just submitting resumes here and there, and I sent in and filled out the information for a position at Macy's about 2:00 on Tuesday. On Wednesday morning when I got up, I had an email saying they wanted me to schedule an interview. I interviewed on Thursday and was hired before I left the store. And I started training yesterday. They have a couple blessings. They are never going to schedule me on a Sunday morning. So I can be here, and that's just a huge blessing for me. They're giving me Monday nights off so I can still go to choir. My manager, who was the one that interviewed me, her dad happens to be a special education psychologist. And she said, if I ever needed time off to go work with Special Olympics, all I had to do was ask, and they would not prevent me from doing that community outreach. I get full benefits, vision, dental, everything. I get retirement, which if anybody wants to bless me in the next month and help me fill out all that stuff, I will take that. They do have kind of a sick pay, sick leave program that I can use. So even if I have to come in 2 hours late one day because there's something going on with family, they just put it in and I still get paid for those 2 hours. So that's a blessing. But here's the kicker. For those of you that don't know, my position is in women's shoes. So I can actually, you might find me around the store and other places. The only places I won't be working will be fine jewelry and cosmetics. But I do extra training for shoes, so at least 32 hours a week I will be in the shoe department. And the rest I might just be around. But they do offer, especially during holidays, they encourage you to take 50 or 60 hours a week. So they encourage overtime. So for me, this is just a huge blessing. They've arranged all of my training through the end of this month and all my work days through the end of this month that I only have to miss 2 days of my nannying, which is this week. And so I actually get to work 2 full-time jobs till the end of August. And so that's going to be a blessing financially. And so it's been... it's just been an absolutely amazing week, and God has really moved. And I think it was just the timing. The timing had to be right, and God was just waiting for that to come up, because that position had been posted for 8 days, and I was the first one they interviewed. So I just want to say thank you. And so for all of you that have been here and prayed on Thursday for me before I went to the interview, thank you so much. And if you need shoes, come and talk to me.
I also have the roaming mic if you need it.
I'll go up. I don't think I've ever used one of these, so I don't know. Okay, my story is a little older, and it has a 2 parts to it, because first of all, it starts with me as a 13-year-old. I hope I can do this and not get too emotional. I was not raised in a church family. And so when I was 13 years old, I was staying overnight with a friend. And she was, apparently, she was from a church family. So anyway, with her, I was invited to attend a meeting. And now I think, when I look back, I think it was an old-time revival meeting. But anyway, the important thing is, I responded. God touched my heart. And I went forward and gave my heart. I won't tell you the other part of the story. It wasn't well received at home. But anyway, I do know that that was the first touch that I felt in my heart from God. And after that, I realized then, what also helped was the fact that I had other friends invite me to youth group. And I really have a strong support of youth group, because I felt it really helped me. And then another friend invited me to join, and actually it was a Lutheran church. And I spent part of 1 year at a confirmation class. But anyway, the point is that I really felt like God was kept drawing me. And it took a long time for it to grow into something where I really grew and I knew, understood it more fully. But the point is I'm making, I was so glad that I felt so privileged that somehow God reached out to me when I was 13. So now I'm moving up to the other part of my story. Many years later, I attended, actually it was on a cruise with my husband, and it was a Sunday morning, and they have a Sunday morning service. So we attended, and the speaker at that time was someone who had quite high credentials. I think he was a bishop in some church or something. So anyway, it wasn't interdenominational. It wasn't Catholic, it was interdenominational. And anyway, he opened up his presentation by asking, how many of you think that man is basically good? Some of the people raised their hand. Then he said, okay, how many of you think that man is basically bad? I think it's probably, or maybe he said evil. And I raised my hand because I knew there was a Bible verse that said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I was basing it on that. But his next comment was, well, we have some Calvinists here. And I go, oh, am I a Calvinist? I didn't know that. So anyway, it piqued an interest in me. And so I went ahead. And since then, I have done a little research. And I looked it up in dictionary. And it says, the doctrine of John Calvin, who lived 1509 to 64, especially his affirmation of predestination and redemption by grace alone. So predestination, the act whereby God is believed to have foreordained all things, the doctrine that God has foreordained all things, especially the salvation of individual souls. So part of that, I think, is the teaching, I guess, that only certain people are predestined. So anyway, this all ties together because then I thought about it, that how did they come up with that belief? And it does say in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. But now in John, that's also talking in the context, he's talking to the disciples. So I presume that maybe that's they were particularly picked out. But there's another verse that says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So, okay, that's part of it. But there's a balance to that. It also says in Matthew 18:11, for the Son of God has come to save that which was lost. Matthew 18:14, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And this is the one that's key to me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I've come to the conclusion I'm not a Calvinist. But the point of it is, I am so thankful for the gift of God that somehow or another I was in the right place at the right time, because my relationship with God has been so meaningful throughout my life. So that's my testimony.
We won't make you come up, but you want to take this one or that one? Okay, all right.
And you're not used to holding mics, you forget you have it in your hand, and this way it's permanent and I can move, but it doesn't. Good morning. I love to go into a place when I don't have a plan to be there and sit in the back and just enjoy worship with believers and enjoy. For those of you, some of you know who I am, some of you don't. I am Kathy Shaw, the wife of Mark Shaw, and we are Foursquare missionaries and have been in Europe on and off over 20 years, almost, and I was born and raised in this valley and still have family here, and I came this last week to my 50th class reunion. We live in Vienna, Austria right now, and I just spoke with Mark, and that's why I was a few minutes late this morning, because, you know, we haven't connected on a FaceTime at all since I've been here. And I don't know, you guys, I have had an amazing time this week with friends and believers, and geez, I'm thinking about building an altar here because it's just been so amazing. I'm blown away by all the believers in this valley. Mark and I heard somebody in this week say, I'm so sick of hearing the word Bethesda, and I thought, wow, okay, I think we need an attitude check. Basically, it's because there's so many of us in this valley who were brought to Jesus Christ through that ministry. And whether you have pain or whatever left over from that, I I, you know, that's a huge other story. I personally am so grateful that God did what he did. And at the age of 20, Mark at the age of 17 in Ephrata, and he came to Christ and it changed his life. And he began as a children's pastor and then a youth pastor and then a young couple's pastor and then an assistant pastor. And then we pastored. Came into the Foursquare movement as pastors in 1980, pioneered the Ephrata Foursquare Church in 1979. And have been Foursquare missionaries, as I said, three different times, and pastored other Foursquare churches in the U.S. So it's my background, and I'm very, very grateful for it. But this week, I had to share this with you. This is my testimony. I have so many, but this morning I'm not going to take that much time, and have never met Jeremy and his wife before. Good morning. And I'm thrilled, you know, because I was just going to sneak around and not make myself known. But I have a brother that is a year older than me, and I have been praying for him for years and years and years. And his wife came to Christ through those years when we were out in Monitor and received Jesus and changed her life. They married, but he never ever he never prayed. It wasn't that he didn't want to hear about it, but he wasn't ready for it. So I'm now 68, he's 69, and I'm thinking he's got born-again, spirit-filled kids. He's got grandkids that love Jesus. His wife loves Jesus. I'm thinking it's about time. And so just like when we were here maybe a year ago, Mark had a conversation with him, and he started going to church. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, my brother is showing up in church. And now this time, he's going to church, and this is the kicker too. I love that word, the kicker. I wanted to come here this morning, and they go to the Free Methodist Church in town. And by the way, I brought a message in a small group this week about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and that we are all one, and this attitude that we should have toward one another. And I actually went with them last Sunday and took pictures of him to verify that he was in this building. And I thought, you know, it's important that I have a conversation with him about giving his life to Christ, not just attending church. Mark used to say, the understanding of that, well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian, is like if you stay overnight in a garage, you've become a car. You know, you just, it doesn't happen. And so this morning, I had that conversation with him, and he said, oh, yes, I've done that. I've given my life to Jesus. And and it's like, then he said, I don't know, though, if we're going to make it this morning because my wife is still in bed. She had a rough night. And the next thing I know, he's all dressed and walking by me, and he goes, I went back and gave her a kick in the butt. And then he said, no, Jesus and I gave her a kick in the butt. And they went to service this morning. So I am like on cloud nine that my brother bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and is in part of the family of God. So thank you, Jesus.
Before I say anything about myself, I want to thank Kathy, not only for her message, which tells us, don't give up. And number two, we now have a face for whom we are praying for. There it is, right there in our bulletin, Kathy. Thank you so much for coming and not staying back in the back row and trying to be quiet. Thank you. I'm kind of like Nancy. My story is also quite a number of years ago, but it's something that has stayed with me since then. I had taken my younger daughter, Mary, over to Seattle to catch the plane to go to visit some friends in California when she was a senior. So you know that's quite some time ago. She's now, what, 50? Of a close. Anyway, so I'm over there in Seattle, and I'd put her on the plane on Saturday, and at that time I was going to the Presbyterian Church in Kashmir, and was singing in the choir. In those days, my voice didn't go kooky. And so I left my, I'd been staying overnight with my niece, and I wanted to get back home in time to get to the choir on Sunday. So I think I must have left there about 6 o'clock and very quietly stepped out of the house so I didn't wake him and came over Stevens Pass. Now, this is in April, so you folks just think about this. It started snowing. And I had my first Subaru, which had four-wheel drive, but it did not have four-wheel drive. I don't even know if they had them in those days. And so as I came over, I didn't even have a music thing going. I didn't have one of those in my car. So I was sitting on my my passenger seat. I had my recorder, and I had didn't even have a CD. I had what did I have? You know, the little tape things. And I'd stuck it in and was singing. They were singing Christian songs, and it quit. And I thought, well, there must be a reason for this. So I turned it off and was driving, and I got up to about, and I can't remember which one of the snows and the mishes and stuff of this town that was called. But when you came up to, I was still on the other side, and you come up to this particular curve, there was a really nice restaurant on the left, which is still not, it's closed now. But anyway, it just seemed like the Lord said to me, stop and get a cup of cocoa. Well, I never did that before, but I thought, well, maybe that sounds like a good idea, so I did. I must have been there about 15 minutes and had a nice cup of hot cocoa, and of course, that was my first breakfast. And so I kept came on over then to pass. And I got, now, if you folks have been here long enough, you remember before they remodeled. You don't remodel a car, road. Anyway, before they changed it. And you came to this great big huge curve like this. And then you really, really curvy. And then you came on up the hill. Well, just before I got to that, I thought, the people are putting on their chains. Lord, I do not want to put on chains. Because I had to put them on the front wheel. Oh, goodness, this didn't sound good to me. And so here they were coming up. So I just started passing these cars, and I just thought, and just as I got to that big curve, what should be coming down the road but a snowplow on the other side of the road? And I said, thank you, and I pulled over into that going the wrong way. There was not one other car that came until I got to the top, and I moved over, and there came the car. I was praising the Lord the whole way down to Kashmir. So I did not have to go. And so then when I had to tell the people at church at that day, even in those days, Pastor John, well, anyway, Pastor John, he allowed us to give our testimonies quite often. But anyway, what it taught me was, listen to God. And it, you know, he didn't speak to me in a verbal voice like you folks do, but there was this urge, you go get that cocoa. If I had not stopped the 15 minutes to drink that cocoa, I wouldn't have, the timing would have been wrong. God is in control. So listen to the Lord.
My name is Millie Mosier, and I have 6 kids. And when I became a Christian, I had 5. And we started at a church with a lot of hippie kids coming to the Lord. And in that church, the girls, the hippie girls, had to sit on one side, the guys on the other. And one of those hippie girls was pregnant, and she did not want to go to the doctor and have that baby. She wanted to have it natural. At that time, there were a lot of that going on. Women wanted to have their babies naturally. Well, these girls really did, because they didn't want any drugs put into their system. They had already had all they wanted. they didn't want any more. They wanted to have their babies at home. So, three of us women in the church began delivering babies at home for these hippie girls. Now, we were not midwives. Oh, boy. You know, it's amazing sometimes what you can step out and do. But the three of us, we helped them, and they had their babies naturally at home. And then we instructed them how to bathe their babies, how to take care of them. And so when I was at a church the other day, I can't remember even what church did I go to? What town was I in? I don't know. But here was this pastor, Dennis and Diane Teague. And they were pastoring there. And so she was one of them that I helped to deliver her baby at home. And I knew that they were pastors there when we went, but my kids, they didn't tell me everything. They said, "Mom, we've got some surprises for you while you're here." So I go in there, and they told their story about how me and these other two gals were delivering babies and all that. And she said yes, and my baby was delivered, and he is now a missionary somewhere. And I go, "What is she saying?" And then I heard people saying my name, Millie Belden. And I cried, "Who are they?" And here were people, these young people were no longer young, and they were calling my name and saying, "You remember what you did for me? Do you remember what you, don't you remember how you helped me to grow in the Lord?" And I remembered all these people as they said their name. But what makes this interesting is it had just been a few days earlier, I was going, "I wish I could have been a missionary. How come I didn't get to be a missionary, Lord? I wanted to go all over the place." Well, the Lord spoke and said, "In all of this, you were a missionary, because some of these kids had gone on to be pastors, and even that first one, Diane, she and her husband became missionaries, and they had been, I think she said, 7 or 8 different countries and ministered in all these countries. She said, "Millie, you were a missionary. You did get to go many, many, many places by all of these others being sent out." And here I had just been saying, "Oh, I wish I, well, Lord, I raised 6 kids. What can I say?" You know? So there I had raised the six kids. My six kids all love the Lord, and I don't know what they've produced out of their life totally, but I do know being in that one congregation where Dennis and Diane Teague were, and there were others all over that congregation, and then people hollering my name, Millie, you remember when you did this? Do you And I go, you know what, Lord? I was a missionary. All of these people that have gone, you never know the influence that you have in somebody's life. And if you think, I don't know. What am I doing? What am I doing? Say, okay, God, I'm facing one day at a time, one step at a time, just following you and doing what I believe is right today. That is my mission.
I'll make this short. Okay. Yeah. No, anyway, in light of what you just shared, Millie, at the Free Methodist Church, I don't know if many of you have seen a sign that they used to have. I don't know if it's still there. It's right above the exit as you head out of the building. It says, "You are now entering the mission field." And I kind of wish we had a sign similar to that. I don't know if it's there anymore, but we truly are entering the mission field when we exit these doors. So we are all missionaries, aren't we?
Hi. So I'm actually pretty nervous right now, but so I moved to a pretty big town in the end of fifth grade, the beginning of sixth grade. A lot had happened at home, and things were kind of rough. And I remember going to school and not feeling so great, and I had always wondered, you know, if things were going to get better. And I made this friend, her name was Amanda, and she was the pastor's daughter, and I had never grown up religious. My mom was raised Catholic, but never went to church, and so she offered for me to go to church someday, and I said yes. And I had always had questions, whether I believed in God or not. And so I went to church with her. I didn't like it at first, but slowly over time I grew into it. I got to a point where I had contemplated my life and for some reason I felt like there was still reason for me to be here. So about a week passes and there's a church camp. So I decided to go, and I actually really liked it. I can't remember what exactly they were talking about, but they were talking about testimonies, and I noticed that I didn't really have one, and I thought about how, you know, I was just compelled to go to church, and I knew there was something calling me there, like there was something that just made me feel at home and at peace there. So I kept going, and things started to get better, and I started to feel better, and, you know, I started praying, things got better, and then I kind of lost my relationship with God and with Jesus, and things started to get dark again. And I didn't really notice the pattern until I moved here. I started praying again. I started coming to church with Beth and her family. And I feel very blessed for that, because without Jesus and without God in my life, I might not be here. So thank you.
Well, it's been a long time since I did give my heart to the Lord, but leading up to that time, that was 78. I'd quit my job. I'd been working at the Department of Social and Health Services, I call it the welfare office. That's not what they called it. And quit that job, and so then I was unemployed, and we were just relying on Jerry's income at Alcoa, which worked out okay, but there just was something missing in my life, and my relationship with Jerry just seemed to be going downhill, and I didn't really know what to do. But I have a younger sister who was going to Bethesda and working at the radio station that they had. And, first of all, she spent time in Germany with Mark and Kathy Shaw, and then she came back, and I know that she wrote me a letter, because I had written her a letter saying, you know, I was searching for something, didn't know what. But when her time was up there and she came back here to the States and she got that job at the radio station, I started listening to the radio station because my sister was on it. And she got me connected up with a Bible study group that met, I can't remember if they met once a week or something. And the pastor's wife, Rachel Titus, taught the Bible study. And so this one morning, it was a Monday morning, and I was in the bathroom drying my hair and had the radio on, and Dorothea announced, Rachel had a 15-minute program on, and I had listened to that, and then Dorothea announced that Rachel was there in the studio, and she was taking calls, and if anybody wanted to call and talk to her for prayer or whatever. And so I decided to do that because I had made a decision that I couldn't continue on in my marriage and my life the way it was, and was ready to move out, and didn't know what to do anyway. So I went and I called, and the line wasn't busy, and she wasn't on the phone talking to somebody else. So I got to talk to her right away. And I just basically asked her to pray for Jerry and me. And she just kind of bypassed that and zeroed right in on, well, are you a Christian? And it's like, if you'd have asked me that, you know, months before that, I would have said, well, of course I'm a Christian. You know, I believe in God and I go to church and so on and so forth. But I told her, I said, well, I must not be, because things are not good. And so she led me to the Lord that day over the phone, and I won't say things have, you know, been super great since, but that's why Jerry and I are still together. And we have a beautiful son who's now almost 40. So that was a long time ago. Yeah. And so I have not regretted that, although I do struggle in my daily walk with the Lord. But that's how I came to ask Jesus into my heart. I had never heard that. Grew up in the church, never heard that idea of accepting Jesus as your Savior. So I'm really glad that I did.
I've got a lot of stories I could share, but most recently, and this just kind of goes along with your walk and God's timing, you know, you raise kids, you have a family, you know, you get married in life, and you ask God, you know, take care of things, and you pray about things, and you know, lately, it seems like my life has been, I get up in the morning, and I get on a jet, and I'm going Mach 4 till I go to bed at night, and you just hope, you know, at the end of the day, you realize half a dozen things that you didn't get done that you should have got done, or people you should have, you know, just things like that. And you know, we've got a wedding coming up. And I remember for years, a lot of you know my story, going from UPS, teacher to UPS to whatever, and all the hours I worked. And, you know, I'd get up in the morning and I'd sit in the front room and I had the pictures of my three kids on the wall and I'd pray for them every day. And if you don't, it's really easy to start worrying about all the potentialities of things that could go wrong. And we've got a wedding coming up, and, you know, you've got daughters with boyfriends, and you look at all the things. And I had a son that my son has been working for the Forest Service for years, and I've been praying for him because it's kind of a dead end. The Forest Service budget gets cut every year, and it was just a seasonal job, and it although he tried and tried, it just never seemed to be going anywhere. And he's not a risk taker, kind of like me, but he finally made the decision this spring to just not go back. So he was he's had a lot of training in tree climbing and sawyering and whatnot. So he was thinking, I'll try to get a job with some tree service, you know, or some landscape guy, you know, something like that. And nothing was happening, and just a whole lot of details. He's in a house he's trying to pay rent on, and a lot of things like that. And I was sitting the other day, and I was looking out the window, and I think my wife was sitting next to me, but I was just started thinking about all the things that could go wrong, and is he ever going to get it, you know, and all these things. And he's at that time he seemed really depressed, and you know, and you can Satan can get a hold of you and start making you worry about everything that could possibly go wrong, you know. And I distinctly heard God tell me, you know, and this all comes back to that scripture: seek ye first the kingdom of God. I guess that's really the simple thing I'm trying to say here. But God told me, he says, Mike, just, you know, keep pressing in, keep in the word, keep washing your mind with the word, keep in prayer, get involved in church, all that other stuff, I got it, you know. And I'd been at work, I work with a guy in Leavenworth who's the head of the Forest Service, our forestry guy, and he hires these contract crews that come, they trim our trees and around the power lines and whatnot. And I'd been telling him about Jason off and on, you know. And anyway, he came to me just a couple of days later after I had this, God talked to me, and he said, Mike, I don't know if your son would be interested, but this is a good job if it's the kind of work he likes. He says, they're looking for a groundman, which is an entry-level position, but it starts out at about $23 an hour. It's got full benefits. And, you know, he made like $14 an hour at the Forest Service. And he said, it's a union job. You'd have to go sign up. They're based out of Snohomish. So anyway, he said, if you want, I'll make a phone call. I says, yeah, please. And so we went to lunch, and he came back, and he said, here's the regional manager's phone number. And he said, have Jason give him a call as soon as possible. So I texted it to Jason, and A little bit later, he texted me back, thanks, Dad, I'm starting work next week. So, you know, hopefully it all works out, but he says there's light at the end of the tunnel. He says, I can start fixing my truck and doing things. And he said, you know, he can get into their apprenticeship program, and in 2 years he could be making in the mid-30-something dollars an hour. And if he becomes a foreman, he could be in a 40. I mean, so this is the potential's there. So it's just, you know what? God doesn't always answer our prayers right away or the way we think, and it's all in his timing, but he just seems to always be on time. So anyway, just some encouragement.
One more.
Hi. I just wanted to say that we kind of had a, I don't think that anything is coincidental. And 2 weeks ago, I like going up to Squilchuck and hiking around in Mission Ridge, and I went on a hike from base to Midway 2 Sundays ago, and was picking wildflowers and thought, well, this would be a good excuse to go visit my parents and take them wildflowers because it was their anniversary. And so I went and took my mom. It was like 10, maybe a quarter to 10 by the time I got to their house, and they weren't home, and I thought, well, this is strange. So I thought it must be one of the grandparents that got sick or something, they were going to go visit, and they finally got home, and instead of being overwhelmed or stressed out to see me there at the house, they were really happy to see me and welcoming, and they had just gone back from Leavenworth, and I said, yeah, I was up hiking up Mission Ridge and was thinking of Dad the whole time and wanted to come visit you guys, and my mom said, that's weird, because up in Leavenworth, they were on Blackbird Island, and she said, your dad kept bringing you up and thinking about you. And so I thought that was pretty cool that we were at two different places thinking of each other, and I haven't left their house since. I had it in my mind that moving back home wasn't an option, but my dad has let me come back and kind of settle down my life a little bit and look for full-time work and get off the, you know, from couch to couch or friend's house to friend's house cycle. And it's working out really good. I have Isaiah for the next 3 weeks. So, yeah, a lot of stability now.
Anyone else? You guys give me a hard time. Whoop, here we go.
This is not a testimony, but it, you know, it's this holy and an anointed one, you know, in the song. But I like to think he's the holy and anointing one. He anoints us with his presence. And then he says, you know, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So he's with us. That's the good part.
You guys preach just as long as I do. I'm just saying. So any comments about how? Yeah. Anyway. Testimony weekend. It's a good thing, isn't it? Now, we can interject testimonies throughout the year. So if there's somebody that just, if you want to really share something, and or something.